Rewiring Your Life with Erica Spiegelman and Marcia Stone. Wellness, inspiration, support.
Welcome to Rewiring Your Life. My name is Erica Spiegelman, and my co-host Marcia Stone is not with us today, but she will be able to listen to this fabulous podcast next week. So we are so excited to have on Dinah Trout. She's the co-founder of Health Aid Kombucha that she co-founded with her husband, Justin Trout, and her best friend, Vanessa Dew. And since the beginning, the trio has been committed to brewing the best tasting and highest quality kombucha on the market. And I could attest to that because I am a huge fan. And we're going to talk about how Dinah kind of started brewing kombucha when she was at Tufts University, and hear about her story and how she basically has, you know, created a company which has now a total following and has so many other products and more. So, Dinah, welcome to the show. We're so excited to have you with us today.
Thank you for having me. Happy to be here.
Yeah. So, I mean, also I could go on and on with your bio, but you've been on, you know, these female founder 100 lists and BevNet's person of the year. And, you know, you've been like entrepreneurs 100 powerful women list. I mean, how does all that feel to have create a product that has been so wildly successful and also so delicious?
I mean, it feels great. You know, I'm very proud of what we built. Of course, I don't take full credit. I had an incredible team and founding team. We did it together. But I mean, it feels fantastic to have, you know, built to have built a dream. You know, it really was my dream, and I'm very grateful that I had the opportunity and that it all worked out. And I count my lucky stars for sure.
Yeah. So I'm just so you know, so my field, I'm a recovery specialist, like a counselor, and I'm an author of a couple books that were published on self-care and recovery and you know, taking care of our mental, physical, spiritual, and emotional selves. And you know, I have a lot of clients that are kind of restarting their lives on many levels. All, you know, everyone has a different story. But I know when I got sober myself at 27 years old, which was almost 15 years ago, I started drinking kombucha. And it was very helpful, I think, in realigning my gut. It helped me kind of have something to turn to at the end of the day that was healthy. I started brewing it myself. I learned how to brew it. And I did that for many years. So for me, kombucha is something that's like honestly dear to my heart. And I just wanted to let you know that I do recommend it for a lot of my clients. So I just wanted to kind of get your take on how did you find kombucha? What's your connection to it? How did this start? And then, you know, maybe tell us how the company started or the idea.
Yeah. Well, I learned how to make kombucha a good 10 years before starting Health Aid. Yeah, my background's in nutrition. So I was in graduate school for nutritional biochemistry and public health. I was doing two master's degrees. And it was there where I just fell in love with food in general. Like, you know, we were all kind of geeks about food. We loved, of course, learning about it, but we also loved cooking it, you know, healing with it and getting creative. So we all got into things, and I in particular was into like fermenting and sprouting. And, you know, when you came over to my apartment back then, I had like all kinds of crazy things on the counter.
Yeah.
So kombucha and fermented foods in general were introduced to me in grad school. And I really, it kind of blew me away how powerful they were for people. I guess two things I didn't know before grad school. One, so many people have gut issues and, you know, they don't look like it, you know, they're healthy-ish and they're just walking around this planet like happy. And, but then when you dig in, they're like, I go to the bathroom once every 4 days, or, really deal with bloating and indigestion. And, so I first was surprised by that. And then the second thing I think I learned was just how powerful fermented foods were at alleviating and healing these issues almost immediately. So, you know, I didn't know that it was going to be like my life's work, at that time, but that's where I learned about, that's what I learned about kombucha. And then, you know, 10 years later, I happened to be on my path. Like, you know, I had a job, I happened to be pretty unfulfilled, and I was seeking, you know, something that I could do on my own terms. And I had all kinds of like motivations and desires. And I realized that I wanted to start a business and be an entrepreneur. And it was like, I couldn't not do it. Not one more day could I go without doing it, because it was just like that much of a calling.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
the calling was to make your own kombucha specifically.
Well, no, I knew the calling was more to build something I could be proud of on my own terms.
Yeah.
I'm like, I mean, I wanted, there was a lot that I was seeking at that time, but I think the biggest driver for me was just overall independence. I wanted financial independence. I wanted independence from, like this status quo.
I was feeling there was,
and even just for women too, there was this like narrative. I wanted to break the mold. Like I had this real sort of drive to prove everyone wrong, and, you know, for better or for worse, that was a big driver for me in the beginning. This sort of need to prove that I could do it. So no, the driver in the beginning was more, I wanted to start a business of my own and like build my own, acquire my own wealth and not live paycheck to paycheck anymore. And like, that was the driver. Kombucha ended up being the vehicle, because I made a really good kombucha, and like everybody who tried it said it was always the best, and it made them feel so good. So kind of putting those two together, we had an opportunity at the farmer's markets to get started, and I didn't have a lot of money. So it was like, all right, let's do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's how we started, you know, making it in my kitchen and selling it in the farmer's market 10 years ago.
That's crazy. I bet you I'm one of the first ones that tried it. I mean, I live in Los Angeles. I went to the Brentwood farmer's markets and other ones all around. But, you know, maybe it was back then that I started drinking it myself.
Yes.
So, yeah, that's amazing.
Yes, we started in Brentwood.
That's
and
so
I was
funny.
I was usually the one selling it there, so
that's
maybe we've even met before.
I know. I'm sure we have. Honestly, I'm sure you have. And I'm such a fan of the line, regardless. I mean, I tried it so long ago, but just a fan of how it's evolved, and I'm just so impressed with, you know, it's everywhere. Little coffee shops and big grocery stores, and it's all over the place, and it's just so cool. I mean, I know as someone who's created. You know, I have a book. So again, if I see my book somewhere, you know, you're just like, it's, you're proud to see like your brain, your baby, kind of your brainchild somewhere. And it's very cool. It's a really fulfilling feeling. So that's amazing. So
yeah.
I was just going to ask you.
Thank you.
I mean, being a woman in like a leadership role, kind of in this beverage space, like what has that been like for you? Is this something that is like atypical that a woman is in this position? I mean, how is it that these smaller businesses now are becoming larger and larger? How does that feel for you, for other women out there that are listening that, you know, maybe want to get into this kind of space somehow?
Yeah. I mean, you're right. It's really only a handful of women that are CEOs. You know, in general, I would say that's true. And also in beverage. I think in LA, I read that like 15% of companies have female CEOs. So that means 85% are men, you know, and that's today. 10 years ago, it was much lower. You know, in general, I would say my experience has been that beverage isn't a place that's like anti-woman or sexist, at least not outwardly for sure, even though it's true there aren't a lot of women founders. So, you know, I think what I'd say is being the only one of a kind in a room, it doesn't matter where you are, it's hard. Because it's intimidating. If everybody else that's there and has made their sort of established a space in there looks different than you, it's intimidating. And, you know, maybe in the beginning, it's true that people listen less to you or they respect you less because you don't look like everyone else. So you kind of have to make up for being different by being two times smarter, two times quicker, two times braver. And that's sort of what it takes. And I certainly have had my moments. I mean, we could do a whole podcast of the moments where I realized, you know, if I were a man, it would have been different. But, you know, instead of harping on those things, I realized you have to stay the course. You have to be willing to be the first in the room. Like in the beginning, my boardroom was 20 men and me. Because I really believe people cannot be what they cannot see. So if you're willing to be that one person in the boardroom, you start to basically change things. You start to change how people perceive women. You change their sort of like, you know, assumptions. And then next thing you know, a year later, there's another woman there. And
right, the narrative,
you know,
changes.
Three, 4 years later, exactly. It's no big deal. So I feel like fast forward to today, I feel it way less than I did in the beginning. And I don't know if that's my own confidence, or if that's just how things have shifted. But in general, I will just say my message to women is that's, you know, it's unfortunate. It is what it is. I think the only way to change it is to stick it out and be, you know, be that two times, get in there, be two times smarter, be two times braver, be the person that changes what people think, you know, and then next thing you know, they're on board with you. Like, it's not, I don't know if it was malicious to begin with. So anyway, it hasn't been easy for sure, but I do think it's natural. And I really do think it's evolving a lot.
Yeah. And I feel like we teach people how we want to be treated and who we are. And so you just have to kind of like lead with that confidence, you know, and and people will.
Yes. Confidence is so key.
Yeah. 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 So with kombucha, just in general, I drink it during my pregnancy. And I know that there's like a lot of people that are like, you know, oh, you shouldn't drink it if you're sober, you shouldn't drink it if you're pregnant, you should be. And I just, you know, everyone has their own choice in this matter. You know, I'm not telling anyone what to do, but in my own experience, there's not real alcohol in kombucha, by the way, unless, right, you get like the hard alcohol, which is a totally different way of brewing it. And also, I don't think, you know, I mean, and if you're pregnant too, that's your own personal choice. But for me, it was safe and my children are healthy. And it was something that really helped me actually with my acid reflux, all these other things that were going on in my body at the time.
Me too.
Yeah. Yeah. So I just wanted to ask you about that. And I'm sure you've heard these questions before. Yeah. Like, is it safe if you're this, if you're that? How do you respond to all that?
Yeah. So I'm glad we're talking about this, because I think sometimes with things that are unknown, or
there's like stigmas,
you know,
to everything,
we perceive them to be we perceive them to be less safe. But the funny thing is, kombucha is probably the, you know, just as safe as eating an apple. I mean, it's so okay, let's tackle the first question first, which is pregnancy. So you know, as far as I can tell, I don't know why or where it came from that there is a stigma with pregnancy. If it's connected to the alcohol, there is such a small amount of alcohol in fermented foods. It's under 0.5%. So it's similar to what's in ketchup, soy sauce, pickle juice, apple juice. If you have apple juice on the counter for an hour, it gets to about 0.5%. It's not even detectable from a blood alcohol standpoint. So it's
that's
certainly
what I tell
not,
people.
So it's the alcohol thing really doesn't make any sense to me. Again, unless you're having like hard kombucha, which is a totally different process. And then, you know, I guess the other thing that might make people nervous is the bacteria. But, you know, what people need to know is that those bacteria are very important for our gut. They're not scary. I understand we try to kill bacteria. And that's good in some respects, right? We're trying to kill the bad bacteria, the pathogens, things like salmonella.
But good bacteria we need.
Yes. Yes. In fact, good bacteria will fight the bad bacteria. So, you know, gut science has come a very long way. And now we're learning that having an abundant, abundant and big flora of bacteria in your gut is a really good thing. So fermented foods are one of the most important things you can actually eat to help develop that. I would say particularly in pregnancy, it's important because you're nourishing a whole other body. You know, you're also, like you said, dealing with all kinds of issues like acid reflux. And for for my second, I had really bad morning sickness, and ginger lemon kombucha literally just eliminated it.
Yes,
so again, everybody's got to do their own thing. But from a safety standpoint, there's really nothing founded here in terms of kombucha. So I never really understood that. And then alcohol, I think I kind of addressed in that question.
Yeah, no, but I appreciate that, because, you know, for, you know, so I work with people in early recovery day to day. I have clients. That's what I do. It's my job. But and I will be totally frank with them that I don't like, you know, kombucha. There's alcohol. Does that mean I could drink it? It's first of all, it's the intention behind what you do always. And also, there's really no alcohol, period. I mean, there's no alcohol that's going to get you drunk. And it doesn't, if the intention is you're drinking it to try and get drunk, that's different, right? Drinking it to have a healthy drink, to help your gut, to unwind, to like just enjoy your life, then that's something different too. So and just, you know, anyone listening out there, I just encourage you to make your own choice about it, but really that there's not, you know, there's not true alcohol in any kombucha. So yeah, and just, I think it's important that people can use this beverage for their health and for their, you know, mental health. I mean, I think for me, coming home like at 3 or 4 o'clock after work and like pouring kombucha relaxed me. It was something I could drink that was healthy and safe. It was something that like I could create a kind of a practice around almost. And then that's why I started like brewing it, just to get to know really how to make it and what it's really about. So I think for anyone that's interested out there, it's a really easy process too.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, I'm so happy you're there to support people on that very important journey.
Yeah. Thank you. And so as a mother of two beautiful little boys that I just saw a picture mm-hmm. of on your Instagram, and I've just been kind of looking at your life a little bit just to get to know my guests, obviously. Tell me what your personal life is like and how you balance that with the work life. Is there any tips or self-care tricks that you use that you could share?
And it is challenging. Recently, I've taken on a new role. I moved on from the CEO role. I was CEO for 10 years and took on a role with a lot more flexibility. So I'm feeling really good right now in terms of my work and life balance.
Good.
Yeah. But in the toughest of times, you know, I had 60 hours of work a week and I had two little guys. And, you know, I had a lot. So it was tough. And I think, you know, do I have a self-care regimen? Oh my gosh. Yes. It's probably more intricate and almost maybe intimidating to somebody that's just starting out, because I had to learn the hard way that if I was not as healthy as I could be, there was just no way I was going to do this all. And, so I guess, you know, you could do a whole book on that, right? But the sort of biggest, the highest level advice I would say is what you feed grows and what you starve dies. You have to carve out, the time to feed the things you want to grow.
Nurture things.
Yes. And
yeah.
It can't just be your business and your career. It can't. If it is, that's the only thing that will flourish.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Part of it is, you know, probably the most important thing I do is around my birthday every year, I've learned this. I didn't always do this, but around year five, I kind of realized that I needed to start reflecting on my life and where it's going. And so around my birthday every year, I take a few days by myself. I go on a vacation by myself. No kids, no husband.
I love
no
this.
Plan.
Okay. I'm taking notes.
It's pretty amazing, because the last time most of us have been on a solo vacation, I mean, some of us never have. And it's really life changing. You don't have to go for a long time, 3 days. But in this time, I make it a point to basically reflect on the year and start to make some, you know, goals for the year to come. But one very important thing I do is I think about, like, what if I were to die right now? Or I think about my dying day a little bit, which is a bit morbid, but
helps give a contrast.
It's not that I'm thinking about how I'm going to die. It's more that I'm thinking, am I happy with how I would leave things? You know, am I happy with what my legacy is? How would I be remembered? And is that how I want to be remembered? And it's a pretty profound, you know, meditation or you know, whatever you want to call it, because you're really thinking about your legacy and how you want to be remembered. And it may not be what you're always thinking about, but usually out of that, I come up with some clear, you know, action items of what I want to do differently in the year to come, so that I work toward how I want to be remembered and how I want to leave things. And that has really changed my my life in terms of how I focus on my business versus my kids and my work-life balance or whatever you want to call it, because it's made me realize like, no, I don't just want to be a good CEO. I also want to be a really good mom. And I also want to be a really good wife and good to myself. And so there are very key priorities for me in my life. And those are the things now I have to carve my day around feeding. So my advice is do that. Take the time to do that and figure out what's really important to you and then feed those things. It does probably mean you have to take some things off your plate. You know, I delegate a lot. I have a nanny. I wouldn't be able to do it all without her, but all of it fits into this sort of puzzle pattern that I've created for myself. And it took time, but you can work toward it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I don't know.
Yeah, no, I love that. Yeah. No, that's
it's a big question.
That's great.
It's a big thing to tackle.
No, that's fabulous advice. Honestly, I love this. I love hearing what other people do that do have, you know, different priorities in their lives. I mean, just, you know, we were talking a little bit before. I just have two such young kids that it's, you know, and I have a full-time career and other things going on. So it is really important to. For me, I think have a routine around my self-care, and that's particularly like walking every day at least for, you know, 45 minutes if I can, and then obviously having time to spend with my kids and with on work and this and that. But it does create, I think you have to manage your time correctly. I do like a brain dump every Sunday night and kind of dump everything that's in my head or what I'm scheduled to do. And I put it all in an actual book, like a, you know, planner, so I could see it visually, because that's the way I learn best. And I remember things, and it just, the anxiety goes away if I write it down. So, I mean, we all have our own tricks, but it's so nice to hear something that you do, because we all have different ways in which we could share like what is helpful to us.
Exactly. We all have something to share, and we've all like learned the hard way in a way, right? I'm sure it wasn't always perfect, right? You didn't just like pop out a kid and suddenly have a perfect balance. No, it got out of balance first. And then you're like, I don't like this. I need to fix this. And that's precisely how we build our routines. I agree with the routine piece, by the way.
Yeah, routine, yeah. Practice, whatever you want to call it. And delegation, I love that you mentioned
discipline.
That.
Discipline.
Yeah, yeah. Because delegating is super important.
You cannot do it all.
No, you cannot do it all. And you can't feel guilty about delegating either. That's another thing. But those are all old narratives that you have to explore with, you know, your past and where all this comes from, you know? Yeah. So, yeah. And I was just going to ask you, so it seems that, you know, you're moving beyond, or the company is moving beyond just like regular kombucha. Are you guys doing like mixed drink beverages and other things, or you have any plans for the future that you could share with us all? Or
So HealthAid is really interested in being a gut health brand. Like, we want to take that to the next level. We really now understand and are continuing to understand as a society how important gut health is. And HealthAid sees it as its mission to unlock the power of the gut for consumers, to really understand, like, when your gut is healthy, so much in your body goes right. And so we want to develop a whole line of products in terms of innovation that will support a healthy gut. Kombucha is where we start. You know, where we go next, one of the things we launched is something called HealthAid Pop.
I saw that.
Which is
so cool. Yeah, like a prebiotic soda.
So yeah. Yeah, it's a prebiotic soda, exactly. And it's got less than five grams of sugar. So it's nothing like, you know, a Coca-Cola. But the idea is you would drink it the same times you would have had a soda if you used to drink it, or you might still drink it. So, you know, you don't have to feel bad about sugar. And it doesn't have stevia or anything like that. So it's not, you know, or fake sugar alcohol. So we've gotten it to taste really full flavored and delicious. So it kind of tastes like a juicy soda. Anyway, it's tasty. Kids love it. It's not as vinegary as kombucha.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you seem to like kombucha. So,
My kids love kombucha.
A lot of people find.
Yeah.
Good. That's so good, because you're helping them develop this like flavor profile that I think is healthy, right?
Yeah.
Fermented foods have that sour taste. But if you're not into kombucha, you know, Pop is a really good way to start, because it still has a lot of the organic healthy acids that kombucha does, but just on a lower level. So it's a bit more accessible. Anyway, try it. We'd love to hear what you think. I personally love the strawberry vanilla flavor. I mean, it is so good.
Yeah. No, I can't wait. I've been looking at it all. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's a treat that's good for you. That's kind of the way to think about it.
That's great. I'm so excited. I'm going to try the grape and the strawberry. And looking at all the flavors, I'm going to have to go find it for sure. Yeah.
The grape is so good.
The grape. I love grapes. It's so cool that you guys are doing that flavor. I love it. Well, I'm such a huge fan, and I thank you for all the work that you do to help, you know, bring such a great product to people's lives. So we've loved having you on, and I just want to ask you just where, you know, they could find Health Aid, or you want to give any information, a website to our audience?
Sure. Yeah, you can find us at healthaid.com. So health-aid.com, like mm-hmm. lemonade, Health Aid. Mm-hmm. And that's also our tag on Instagram at Health Aid. Me personally, I'm at Dinah Trout. And I very much, you know, sort of support gut health in my Instagram. So if you're an entrepreneur or you're interested in learning about gut health, I try to be thoughtful and provoking there. So
yeah.
Yep. That's us.
Good. Well, I'm following on both the Health Aid platform and yours. And I can't wait to see what you guys do in the future. I'm just, yeah, very, very thrilled for all of you guys. That's fabulous. Just really one quick question.
Thanks so much.
Yeah, before we leave, we ask all of our guests a kind of a deep dive and question, and it's, what is your superpower, Dinah?
My superpower is to take action when most others wouldn't.
Love that. No, I love that.
Yeah.
I love that.
I'm really good at getting things started.
That's great. No, that's so great. You find a way and you do it. I love that quality in people.
Yeah.
I really admire that. Yeah.
I need a team to finish it and make it thorough and put all the bells and whistles on. But I'm really good at like getting people in a room and like, we leave that room like we've started something.
That's
my gift.
That's amazing. Okay. Well, I know who to call in case I need that in my life. Just kidding. That's great.
So cool.
That's great. Well, thank
you.
It was wonderful to talk to you. Thank you. And until next time, everybody, be well.